The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today's discussion is the provincial budget. I'm one-on-one with Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. Minister, thanks so much for joining me today.
Happy to be here, Nancy.
We've got lots to talk about. Of course, this is your first budget as Finance Minister, and you describe it in the media as a stable budget in an unstable time. And I think that nothing could be more truthful than that. We're in a very unstable time right now for so many reasons. The economy, oil prices, and of course, the pandemic that continues to loom over us. So how challenging was preparing this budget amid the uncertainty of the COVID pandemic?
Well, Nancy, I think, first of all, we have to recognize, as you just said, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So we know that, there's volatility in revenue, volatility in expenditures by government. There's just a lot of uncertainty at this point in time. So preparing a budget, we have to be realistic about where we are, from a financial position, not just in Newfoundland and Labrador, but around the globe. And so you're right, it was more challenging than normal, but I'm pleased to say that we were able to change some of the financial considerations coming out of the July update. So in July, we had anticipated a worse deficit situation. I think it was over $2 billion at that point, $2.14 billion, and of course at budget time it was down to 1.84, and that's because revenue changed, improved a little bit. So you're absolutely correct, uncertain times, but one thing is certain. I know that we'll work through this together and we'll get through it together.
No, absolutely, as we always do, right? We face adversity in this province. We talked about that the last time you were on the show, but we always rise above it. And I loved how you said, we always do it with diligence and integrity and compassion, and that is who we are here in Newfoundland and Labrador. But let's talk about the deficit. So $1.84 billion, as you said, that is $309 million improvement from what the forecast was in July. What stands out about the budget is that it provides no long-term forecast for getting back to a balanced budget. Now, of course, the contributing factor is the fact that we haven't seen the federal budget as of yet, but we also know that we have a longer-term picture that's going to take shape based on some recommendations, or in consideration, I guess, of some recommendations that are coming from the economic recovery team led by Moya Green. So can you share what this team led by Ms. Green is going to be looking at and what input that you'll be seeking from them?
Oh, certainly. I also just want to say the reason why there's no long-term forecast in this particular budget, as you pointed out, is a normal thing in a budget to have a return to surplus plan in it. But as you pointed out, with no federal budget, with volatility because of the pandemic, with revenues and expense impacts because of that pandemic, we're not able to have certainty, I guess, around the numbers, and therefore budgets are only as good as the numbers are built upon. So we felt it was important not to do that long-term forecast for this budget, knowing that in 6 months' time we'll be back to another budget. And I can tell you that we're only the third province in Canada to do a budget during the pandemic, and Saskatchewan, another province, also did not give a long-term forecast, just based on that volatility. So you mentioned about Dame Moya Green and what she's going to be looking at in terms of the economic recovery team. She's putting together her team now, but it will be very strategic. It will consider some of the bigger, bolder ideas that we need to do. In the budget, I've talked about how important it is for those big, bold ideas. It won't just be measures of a few cuts. It will be, how do we really transform? How do we really transform and reimagine how government is delivered? And so she'll be looking at those particular ideas of reimagining and changes that may occur. December. She'll be reviewing expenditures, analyzing our fiscal capacity. She's putting together the team as we speak. And over the next number of weeks, I'm sure we'll see not just her, you know, moving forward with this analysis, but also a team of people. And I'm sure she'll be reaching out. And I also, Nancy, will be speaking to a number of stakeholders and people in our community to get their ideas. So it won't just be Moya Green, whose team will be looking at this. It'll be all Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, I think, will be engaged in this process of how do we really reimagine what we're doing. We all know that it's not sustainable the way we do government today, the way we offer services today. How do we do them better? And when I say that, I mean that sincerely. You know, some people say, well, what are you going to cut? Well, I'd rather say, how are we going to improve services? We've seen during this pandemic, for example, more people utilizing the internet and utilizing online services. Is that a better way of delivering services to the people of the province? You know, can we do better? We've seen people working from home. Does that mean we don't need as much real estate from government? What are the things that government must deliver in terms of required services to people? And what are some of the things that perhaps we can move away from things that we've done in the past and they've been around for a long time, but maybe we don't need them anymore? So it's that kind of thinking, the bigger, broader thinking, that we'll be take the next 6 months to do, so that we can make some adjustments and improvements to our deficit and set us up for a stronger future. I know all Newfoundlanders and Labradorians want to have a strong future in this province. They want to leave a stronger province for their children and their grandchildren. And so I think it's going to be important for all of us to have this important conversation of how do we indeed do better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, there's been discussion for some time, both from the people of the province and business owners and businesses in the province around these changes that need to be sought out by government. So I'm sure everyone's looking forward to hearing not only what this committee has to say, but also yourself, Minister Cody, as we move through this process. I'm one-on-one with Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody today. More budget highlights when you return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. Today's focus is the provincial budget, and joining me for discussion is Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. We've heard several times on Budget Day that this is a pandemic-focused budget, and as such, it does include spending that you say will focus on easing the strain on families, growing the economy, and ensuring the healthcare system is equipped to respond to pressures of COVID-19. To address those pressures associated with the pandemic crisis, because it is a crisis, close to $100 million has been made available. Can you tell us how this money is going to be spent?
Certainly. I think you're referring to the $100 million that it will be that is allocated just for health care. And that $100 million is for things like personal protective equipment that we'll need during the pandemic, for testing. As you've seen, I think it's about 46,000 people have been tested. We're looking at how we support immunization. We're also going to have to make sure, for example, we have increased immunization for the flu for this coming year as well. So supporting really the additional costs due to COVID-19. And there is additional money from a contingency perspective to support the community as well. And you've seen announcements for various programs that actually support the community. So the pandemic is definitely having an impact on the expenditures of government. And I think they're important expenditures at this point in time to support us all as we move through this difficult time.
No, absolutely they are. And I guess there's still so much uncertainty, and we're seeing cases soar throughout the rest of Canada. And I know there's been a lot of talk this week about the cases increasing in New Brunswick and some fear and uncertainty around that. So do we think that the budgeted spending is enough? Like, would the government be prepared to spend more?
If need be, absolutely, and we would have to go back to the legislature to do that. Obviously, we'd have to go back and make sure that the legislature, the House of Assembly, is aware of additional requirements, and then they would vote on those additional requirements. But I think we've allocated sufficient at this point in time, so I don't anticipate having to go back in. But if need be, we certainly can do that. But it would take a measure of the House of Assembly, because, of course, it's very important for the people of the province to know that there's scrutiny on every expenditure that happens in the province, and that is through the House of Assembly, through the opposition, and through the independents.
No, absolutely. And, of course, there's other health-related spending with the budget as well. We've got $2.3 million for 14 new drugs under the Newfoundland Labrador Prescription Drug Program. This will increase to $4.5 million next year. $3.3 million being allocated annually for the recently launched nurse practitioner virtual care service through 811. $3.3 million annually for the expanded insulin pump program. And $6.4 million is being invested in a variety of programs that will support athlete and sport development, as well as encourage healthier lifestyles for people of all ages. More than $1.7 million is being committed to prevent and reduce tobacco and vaping use. On top of this, there's also been a 20% tax introduced on vaping products, and taxes are also increasing on tobacco products. So the focus, of course, with this spending and these tax increases is aimed at moving forward preventative care within our healthcare system. How important is that for our province moving forward?
Oh, I think it's essential, and we all want to have healthier lifestyles and healthier outcomes. Matter of fact, the whole budget and everything that we do in government is based on four core principles. One is promoting physical and mental health. The second, growing our population and making an attractive place to live, expanding technology and innovation, and developing our resources. I mean, everything that we talk about is around those four pillars. But just back on the healthcare, you are correct in that we have made additional, I call them investments, to making sure that people live healthier lives. And that's why we've expanded the insulin pump program. That's why we've introduced 14 new drugs to the Newfoundland and Labrador Prescription Drug Program. And that's to treat conditions like Parkinson's disease and cancer and cystic fibrosis. You talked about the prevention mechanisms that we have in the budget. I think it's $1.7 million to prevent and reduce tobacco vaping use. And we really want to work with the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco and the Newfoundland and Labrador Lung Association Smoker Helpline to help people to stop smoking and vaping, because, of course, it has such impact on their health. So it's very important that we you know, make these investments, try and help people have healthier lifestyles and healthier outcomes. And that's why, as well, the Minister of Health and Community Services has been tasked by the Premier Fury to strike a task force on health care to look at really how do we deliver a 10-year health accord. And I think that's going to be work to look at how we reimagine health care delivery. You talked about the nurse practitioner that's available now through supporting virtual care service through 811. We have people all over this province, you know, in remote locations around this province that need good health care delivery, and this is another way of providing that service to them. But the health care corps will really look at how do we deliver better outcomes and how do we reduce the, and eliminate any waste that we have, right?
No, absolutely. And, of course, Deputy Premier, the fact that there's no increases within the budget to personal and corporate taxes is being very well received. Your government is also being applauded for its announcement on a $25 a day child care program. We're going to talk about that when we return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. Today, I'm joined by Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. We're discussing the recent provincial budget. And Deputy Premier, we ended the last segment just talking about how your government is being applauded for its announcement on the $25 a day child care program. What can you tell us about this program? How will it run, and what are the long-term costs on it?
Well, certainly it is an important program, obviously, for families in the province. And by families, I mean extended families as well, because, of course, we all want to support families and ensuring that they have the supports they need to get back to work and have dedicated child care that's reasonable and affordable. So $25 a day child care program is being announced, and what that will mean is families who utilize regulated child care services will pay $25 for their service. That'll be for their child in daycare and child care, and basically then the provincial government will subsidize those regulated child care spaces and provide the remainder of the requirement to ensure that that families, you know, have, as I said, regulated child care and dedicated child care when they need it most. It also is has a big impact. I know in 2017, Conference Board of Canada did an analysis and a study, and it said for every $1 invested in child care, it returns $6 to the economy. So it certainly does have big impact. There are about 70% of all child care spaces in the province are regulated. The other 30% will probably look to become regulated over the next very short period of time to take advantage of this $25 a day child care as well.
And it is a great program, and it has far-reaching benefits, not only to families, but also to businesses, of course, because they're looking to get their employees back to work. And to the extent that it's easier for those employees to do so as a result of this child care program, that's going to be better for them.
I was advocating for, dedicated low-cost child care since the early 1990s. I was, with the St. John's Board of Trade at the time I was president in the early 90s, and I know that it was a big challenge for businesses at that time. And now, some 25-plus years later, we're still talking about it. So I'm really, really glad that it was introduced in this budget. I think it'll have an impact on our economy as well as on families, and that's what we really need, especially during this pandemic.
No, absolutely. And, of course, within the budget, you've also announced a $30 million small business assistance program, and $25 million has been earmarked for small businesses. What can you share with us about that program and what it will look like, and how many businesses do you expect are going to qualify for that?
This is a very important program that we heard really a lot about as in the lead up to the budget. I know the St. John's Board of Trade contacted me and others, saying that there have been impacts to business, and how, especially during COVID, and how can we even give some support? It won't be as much as I'm sure a lot of businesses will need, but it will certainly be helpful. And we had introduced a program for tourism operators around this around COVID as well. So this is a program that is for small business. So anyone under, say, 99 employees can avail of this $25 million. It will be basically retroactive, so going back to the period of COVID, so going back to mid-March, and it'll help offset expenses, or if you had to do any innovations to ensure that you could remain in business. It'll be a simple application online. You would just go online. There will be an online portal. It will be available the next number of weeks. And depending on how many employees you have, you'll get a stipend back to your company. So that program will be fully unveiled and launched within the next week or so. But that kind of gives you a sense of what it will be. It will be a quick application online, similar to what we're doing now for tourism operators.
That's great. And I know the announcement, is being very well received, and I know business owners out there are really looking forward to getting the details. You've also earmarked $5 million for community-based organizations. What are some examples of the community-based organizations that are going to be supported by this?
You've heard them on various media, actually, speaking out, like Lions Clubs and other type of organizations, different groups that have been that provide services in our communities that have been really struck by COVID. They can't do the normal fundraising that they do, though they're providing the services to their community. So we're offering, again, a stipend. It will be a portal, again, online. You'll be able to make a quick application, and then there will be a stipend given to the community organization, the community sector, to allow them to continue their good work in the community.
That's fantastic, because I know that those organizations, you know, it's hard during a pandemic when people's finances are in question themselves, maybe continue to donate as they may have. And although Newfoundlanders always open their hearts and wallets, even when it's hard on them, I'm sure these community-based organizations are going to appreciate that support.
It'll help offset some of the expenses they've incurred. Like if you're a charitable organization and you've had a bingo normally running during regular times, you might have had to put in partitions. You might have had to have social distancing or buy personal protective equipment. So it'll help offset some of those costs and keep those community groups active, supporting their homes and their communities.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I know that it is being very well received, as is the help for the arts sector. So we know that musicians and professional artists, normally make a living within the arts sector and in the tourism sector. And with that being hard hit, they've been looking for support as well. And you've got some support from them.
Yes, we've been able to broaden the eligibility under the Tourism and Hospitality Support Program to include professional artists and musicians. And we heard from them as well saying, you know, they need some support right now. And so there's already an online portal for the Tourism and Hospitality Support Program, and professional artists and musicians can now go in there. And again, it will be a stipend to offset some of the impacts and costs that they've incurred during the pandemic. You know, it's a small amount of money that might be, you know, $25 million, $5 million then for $25 million for business, $5 million for the community sector, and then the expanded tourism program. But it certainly will have a big impact on people in the sector.
Yes, it will, for sure. And when we come back, we're going to talk about infrastructure. You've got $609 million that's been slated for infrastructure projects across the province, and we're going to talk about those when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Today, I'm joined by Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. And Minister, there's no doubt that these are uncertain economic times in our province. And, you know, you've described the recent provincial budget as a stable budget in unstable times, as we've said. And this is largely due to the pandemic that we see ourselves in. But the budget includes some major spending on infrastructure across our province. $609 million is allocated for infrastructure improvements in a wide variety of sectors, including health, education, justice, municipal, and, of course, transportation. So planned spending includes constructions of new healthcare facilities and schools, as well as improvements to our province's transportation network. How important is this spending for our province right now?
Well, it's important in a number of ways. It's important because, of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and investments in our communities certainly help with job creation and economic development. But it's also important, of course, for service delivery, for improvements to our communities as we move forward, attracting. I said earlier one of the key things that we want to do is grow our population, and how important it will be to have an attractive and supported communities. So as you pointed out, we will be making a big investment. It's $609 million. That's up a little bit from last year. But people remember that this is an asset. We're growing. We're developing assets. So it has debt impact, but not deficit impact overall. But there is about $165 million to improve our provincial roads. And goodness knows, we all know the impact of weather on our roads and making sure that we have a good provincial roads system. There's, $80 million for healthcare facilities. How important are they? Including the construction of a new mental health facility here in St. John's and, acute care hospital in Corner Brook. There's $48 million for construction of new schools in Gander and Paradise, Bay Roberts, Scully's Point, and St. Albans. And, of course, allocation of money for the start of the development of a new K-12 Francophone school in St. John's. And then there's the correctional facility in St. John's that has that we need to advance on, and expanding the corrections facility in Happy Valley, Goose Bay. And there's also money there to do an engineering study on the scope for and replacement of a wharf in Lewisport. So these are important investments. We have about 95% or over 95% of the people working on the provincial infrastructure projects are Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. It's very important, you know, for job development and growth and economic development, but also that foundational work of having strong infrastructure grows our communities.
No, and it is important. And, you know, I've seen, although most of the feedback on the budget has been positive and, you know, very considerate of the time that we find ourselves in, I have heard some criticism around, you know, there's not a lot in there about jobs and we really need jobs. But I'm not sure I entirely agree with that, because this infrastructure spend is maybe not creating jobs, but ensuring that the people who are bidding and who are working on those projects are able to keep their employees employed. So in that sense, it is creating jobs.
You're absolutely correct. I'd go further than that, though. If you look in the budget, one of the key themes is on a stronger economy, and there's investments in the oil and gas industry. There's investments in technology, some $17 million for research and development, commercialization, and business development. There's supports for the small business and community sector and arts program that we've already talked about. There's money there for fishing industry, the tourism industry. There's investments in forests. There's $9 million for forestry. There's money for the mining industry, supports for the mining industry. And then, of course, there's things like the infrastructure program and beyond. So there is an awful lot in the budget that actually does support economic growth, development, and expansion. And I think that's going to be important as we come out of COVID.
Yes, it most certainly will. And of course, you know, a discussion on the budget wouldn't be complete without talking about the deficit. So considering the deficit that we have, do you think that this spending could have been reduced or some of these projects put on hold? Or is it really what is needed right now to help our economy recover?
I would definitely say it's needed to help our economy through this pandemic. I think right now you've seen, you got to remember, this is not the highest deficit we've ever had in the province. You know, and I think that's important to remember, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, yet we're able to keep our deficit as low as we've been able to keep it at 1.84, which is lower than we had forecast. So I think there are controls, and we're making sure we turn over every dollar three times before we spend it, but we are making the important investments in order to grow our communities, to grow our economy, to have jobs for people in this province, and to come out of the pandemic as strong as possible.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, yourself and Premier Fury are focused on a better Newfoundland going forward from an economic standpoint, but as we said, this budget right now over the next 6 months really wasn't the time to do that. We do need to be focused on economic recovery and seeing ourselves through the pandemic. Well, the focus on this budget has also been moving forward together, and this is a theme that was echoed as the budget was delivered. So we're going to discuss that when your money returns. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money with BDO. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. I'm joined today by Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. So, Minister Cody, the opposition parties will support this budget, despite the fact that both parties have expressed concerns over the long-term forecasting. PC leader Tess Crosby says that this is not a time to be upsetting apple carts or worrying people more than they're already worried. That's why the PC party is going to support the budget. And the new Democratic Party leader, Alison Coffin, says on its face, the budget appears to be one her party can support. We've also heard from municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador President Sheila Fitzgerald saying that the budget provided a sigh of relief for communities across the province, and small business leaders also have had very little criticism. So how important is this support right now? I mean, considering the uncertainty of our province is facing with the COVID pandemic, how are you feeling about the support you're receiving?
I think we worked very hard to make sure that we balanced our efforts within the budget. We did communicate and speak to a number of our community sectors and tried to reflect in the budget what we were hearing that was required by our community. So I'm glad that we have the support that we do for this budget. I think the budget took as balanced an approach as possible. We kept the deficit as low as we possibly could. We recognized the supports that were needed for the communities, including, we talked about, you mentioned municipalities, with $116 million for investment to help communities improve infrastructure and enhance services. So that's a big investment there. So I think all in all, we made the right approaches in this government in this budget, and I think that's why it's being supported. And I think that I'm glad to hear that they will vote in favor. The budget will come up in the next number of weeks, and I think it's very important that we recognize that it's now is not the time to make sudden moves or changes, but that would damage our economy or make sure that or ensure that we wouldn't come out as strongly as we should. So I will say that, you know, the one thing that I keep saying is Newfoundlanders and Labradorians are very resilient. We take care of one another, and that's what this budget does. And people are working hard for their families, they're working hard for their communities, and we would just want to make sure we get through this pandemic together.
Yeah, and, you know, it was actually really refreshing to me as I, you know, listened and read different reports in the media and heard from different parties on the budget, not to hear a lot of negativity and criticism, which I think speaks volumes to the work that you put into developing this budget. So congratulations on that.
Well, it's a joint effort by a lot of people. I want to recognize the former minister, Minister Osborne, who had done a tremendous amount of work, and then coming in, of course, from August 19th onward with the leadership of Premier Fury and talking to the communities and making sure we had that balance within this budget, because we do need to come through this together, and I think that we've got the strength, we've got the vigor, we've got the pride to make sure Newfoundland and Labrador continues to grow and continues that strength of place.
And I loved on Budget Day how you referenced the lyrics of the provincial anthem in outlining the current situation our province is facing. And I want to point out that also the collateral pertaining to the budget, there's three words: today, tomorrow, and together. So what is the message your government is sending Newfoundlanders and Labradorians about what lies ahead for the province?
Well, I think on Budget Day I said this was like a renaissance for Newfoundland and Labrador. We're going to come out of this pandemic with strength. We're going to come out with pride. We're going to come out with this kind of new resolve to make sure that we address what the challenges that have financially plagued us for quite some time, but also the strength of our economy and the growth of our economy and how we can reimagine what we're doing with government, reimagine what we're doing with our economy, and address the systemic issues that we've had financially. So I think there's a source of pride, there's a source of strength in that, and you know, I'm quite proud of Newfoundland and Labrador. I use the Ode to Newfoundland because I really do. The lyrics of that really resonate with me, in that I know the strength of our heritage and our past. I know I know that Newfoundland and Labrador has faced challenges before, and we've always come through those challenges, and we'll do so again. And I am proud of how Newfoundland and Labradorians have addressed the pandemic. We've kept each other safe, and I hope we continue to do that. And I know that we'll get through this together, and tomorrow and the next day and the day after, we're going to continue to grow opportunity here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I think we should all have a great deal of pride in our province. We have incredible resources. We have strength in our skilled employees. We have strength in our addressing our economy. We have strength in addressing our environment. We have strength in our educational system. And we'll rise. The Newfoundland and Labrador will rise coming out of this.
No, I have no doubt that that will be the case, as it always has been in the past. And I look forward to seeing what comes after this budget, so in the coming year, and hopefully as we get this pandemic behind us as well. You're listening to Your Money. When we return, we're going to have some time for some final thoughts.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'd really like to thank my guest today, Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Siobhan Cody. Thanks so much for joining me, Deputy Premier. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Very happy to join you as well, and thank you for the opportunity to bring some of what's in the budget to the people of the province. We didn't get a chance to talk a little bit about poverty reduction. If I have a moment, I'd like to, because it's a big investments here, about $123 million for the income supplement program, which includes a seniors benefit, and there's money for adult literacy programs and services and improving employability, and there's another big stipend of money, of course, for housing, affordable housing, and helping people with their rents and transition houses and home repair programs, which I think are important foundational programs that help people as they emerge from difficult times.
No, absolutely, they are, and that's always a topic that's top of mind for me because, of course, in my daily life, I'm helping people who are in financial difficulty. Now, certainly, that's not to say that all my clients are in need of the programs that you've mentioned, but we know that there's so many people living paycheck to paycheck, and we also know that there's people who are not making enough to buy groceries, and the food banks are overwhelmed right now, even more so than normal with the pandemic. So these programs, to your point, are super, super important. But we've got some time now for some final thoughts. So if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would that be?
I think, as we've said throughout this program, you know, we are very resilient as Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, and I want to recognize us, for the care that we've been giving to one another and ensuring health for all, and making sure that as we move through this pandemic that we're taking care of one another. But I also want to recognize that people want investments in their communities to ensure growth and development for the future. They want good-paying, well-paying jobs. They want opportunity. And I think this budget speaks to that. I think we are recognizing that we will make the changes that we need, the reimagining our economy and reimagining the way we provide services throughout Newfoundland and Labrador to continue to have that strength and opportunity moving forward. So if I was to say one thing to the people of the province is we can shape a very bright future for this province and for the people that are in it, and that while things might be difficult, they're not impossible, and we'll get through this together.
No, we absolutely will. And before we go, Minister Cody, anything you can share about upcoming announcements, anything that the people of the province can look forward to?
Well, you'll be hearing in the next couple of weeks, of course, the announcements around the small business program. You'll hear some announcements around infrastructure moving, you know, how we're going to continue to move forward with infrastructure. There are commitments to the municipalities, and they will all be rolled out in the next number of weeks. We did make an announcement recently as well with the craft brewing industry, for example, to continue to grow that industry, because you've seen a number of craft brewers around the province, for example, and they're driving not just economic opportunity, they're also driving tourism in some of their communities. So we were able to support that industry growing forward. So when you talk about having jobs and economic opportunity, this budget really does address that as well.
And I think that that's a relatively new industry for Newfoundland and Labrador, but certainly a growing one. I know my husband and some friends of mine went to Twillingate to do a little staycation, and we visited the craft brewery out there, and it was very busy when we were there, which was really good to see.
Absolutely. As I said, it's not just economic opportunities, tourism, and good, well-paying jobs around the province as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to the next time.
And, Minister, if people wanted more information on the budget, if they wanted to give you some feedback, some general thoughts on what you should be considering as we move forward through this pandemic and into 2021, what's the best way for them to do that?
If they go to gov.nl.ca and click on the finance icon there, they'll be able to leave a message for finance department, or they can always email me at Siobhan Cody or scody at gov.nl.ca.
Great. Thanks again for joining me.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
As always, I do want to hear from you, my listeners. If you have a comment or question or maybe a topic you'd like us to discuss here on Your Money, you can email us at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give us a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Sneddon. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Sneddon of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.